So, Hare Krishna. I'm very, very enthusiastic to deliver this seminar to you. Let us just watch the time. During the last two seminar blocks, we discussed the experience of a person who is on his or her spiritual journey. In the beginning of that experience, the spiritualist might have hoped that everything would go very smoothly, more or less like the journey of an airplane, which rises higher and higher and higher until it finally is above the clouds and travels towards the sun. But we saw that the experience of someone who is on his or her spiritual journey is not always like that, but it is more like an up and down movement. Sometimes one has great spiritual realizations, one feels very close to the Lord, but at other times one again goes down and may feel even something like a desperation, a sadness. And one might ask, what is happening? Is my spiritual process, my path, my religion, is it actually working? So in the last two sessions, that is yesterday evening and this morning, we discussed different models which can describe what is going on in the spiritual path, and we arrived at this model, the spiral. This is a very interesting model with a very interesting statement. When you are in your spiritual life and you make progress, you often come to the same issues, same points, same I would say challenges. But these points, issues or challenges arise on different and new levels, which are more subtle as more you advance. In the beginning, you might have struggle to give up simple addictions like smoking, and you might have been convinced to do this because you found out that it is more favorable to live without smoking and also to have a diet which is meat-free or violence-free. You might have found out that this pleases the Lord more, and therefore you might have given up smoking and meat eating. Later, you might find out that you have to change certain things. You shouldn't be so egoistic and live so much in your own world of I and mine, my position, my interests. And you might have found out that it's more favorable for your spiritual journey and more favorable to please the Lord if you become a true selfless servant. Then still later, you might be confronted with the same issue on a different level. Now, you might find out, now I should just surrender my own plans and my own little world to the wonderful plans and big world of Krishna. I should please him. Now all these three examples really address the same issue but on a more subtler or deeper level. In the beginning, the person who was addicted to smoking and certain eating habits found out that it's more favorable to give this up. Then later, the same the same desire to enjoy, which was there when he smoked and ate impossible things and and so on, the same desire to enjoy confronts him if he does not want to do selfless service. And later, on yet a higher level, that same desire to enjoy life on his own, separated from any connection, higher connection with the Lord, comes up again when he is confronted with the idea to surrender to the plan of the Lord and to do his willing. So in this way, you could describe the progress or the spiritual journey of the young sadhaka with a spiral. See, in the beginning of a spiral, there is one point, and you go more up, the same point comes up again. Then you forget about it, and you go higher, and again there it is. And it goes, as you advance, the same point in the level, in the, you know, in the quadrat, is appearing again and again and again. This doesn't mean that the person is not making progress. It simply means that the conditionings of material life, you could say the obstacles or impediments, are just so deep, like a deeply rooted weed which grows deep into the ground, that this problem has different aspects to it. The problem of trying to be God or trying to be the enjoyer and controller of one's life. And as one advances, one confronts deeper and yet deeper levels of this conditioning. This is necessary to confront these deeper and deeper levels of one's own weaknesses or of the demon within, as it's called in different traditions, in order to totally and completely uproot material existence and become a free, loving child of eternity who trusts in Krishna and who is connected with the Lord in all his or her aspects of the life. So we were discussing this. If you want to understand this deeper, I would like to request you to get the recordings of this seminar and then think about it on your own life and see what to do with it. I would now, where I have tried to give you a little summary, I hope it's not too theoretical for you, I would like to go and introduce to you yet another model. This is a different model. As I hope to show you, is that even if your journey goes up and down, you are on the road to progress. But it's a different progress than you have heard about in esoteric books, in the New Age books, and who would want to sell you a very, I would say, cheap model of spirituality. You are really advancing, and although your advancement looks differently, so we will make now an arrow, an objective arrow, of your advancement. You are extremely talented, Gaurahari. I think Kunya Biharini could also do this as a graphic designer. It's a simple task. Yes. So, this is... yes, okay, you can say objective progress. You, as you enter the spiritual path, although there are ups and downs, but you feel that your knowledge increases, and you feel also that your experiences on the spiritual path, your experiences of God, do increase. Please do not become disturbed or maybe bewildered even when you see that despite your increasing amount of knowledge and despite your spiritual experiences, you sometimes enter in what we call in Christian terminology the dark night of the soul, huh? The times when you are confronting the deeper issues on a deeper level and when you sometimes feel helpless in your progress. Normally, what happens when a person makes progress, objective progress in this world, something increases in him. Parallel. It's pride. It works. I know more than I used to know when I started. I have more novats. Novats? What do we say in Tatpurusha for novats here? What? Dinar! Yes. I have more money and I have more of a house. My wife uses more cosmetics and therefore you smells nicer and looks better. And so the idea of objective progress as it is defined in the materialistic world is always a progress in pride. Or if you don't want to use this ugly word, you will say self-esteem. You could also use the word of ego. But that's again a bad word which we don't like to hear. But this is what happens. There are also, so to say, a spiritual ego. I know more, I give better lectures, I'm more old, I have more initiations than others. Not only the first, I have also the drugi initiatio. Yaha. So on. But if you want to really make spiritual progress, you have to be very, very, very careful about this ego which inflates, this pride or this self-esteem. Therefore, a person who makes real spiritual progress has also a subjective progress. And we will now paint with to you the subjective progress. It goes in the other direction. It doesn't go in the area of pride. It goes into the area of pridelessness. This is the subjective. Yes, people may say, oh, Tatpurusha, you are so advanced, you look so peaceful, even in the midst of composing wild music, and so on. And they may see some, where is Tatpurusha? Yeah, sorry. And they may see some objective things, but for the individual, it's very important to bent low, bow down, bhakta. Bow down, bhaktin. Develop true humility, pridelessness, which is the jewel of all genuine spiritual experience. If you see the greatness of God and compare yourself with more of God's glories, you will always recognize your own smallness. Only if you don't see anything big, you will think, I'm very big. I will show you a picture where I'm seen together with many Indians who live in the jungle, and they are all so small, they go up to, you know, where my bebek starts, you know, up till here. But and then I might think I'm a very tall person. But if I'm next to an American basketball player, you know, they're usually up to the ceiling, then I see I'm very, very small. So people who have a good God realization will understand in comparison that they are small. But those who have only a very small God realization will think, I'm very, very big. I think I told many of you before, we were sitting at the Atria and there was a wonderful gathering of devotees. And I told you a lesson which I have made on our project in Goloka Dham. Last winter, not this winter, I saw many trees who had fallen on the ground. And some of them were unfortunately very old trees also, very high trees, very strong trees, but now they were lying uprooted on the floor. And I was thinking, what is the reason? And asked the gardener. And the gardener said, the roots were not very deep. So as a tree grows and gets more weight, a tree, it's called the crown of the tree. In order to survive, the tree has to also make deeper roots. Otherwise, if it just grows here in the tree crown or the crown of the tree, his growth can be dangerous for its survival, because when there is a heavy weight up here and no anchoring down here, then it's easier for the tree to fall. The same is in our life. When we get more realizations on our spiritual path, when we may get more recognition and appreciation of others, when we even get more wealth, but we do not become deeper in our lives, we end up like many of these foolish young pop stars. You know, they have a good voice and some attractive frisura, and they gain a lot of money, but because they are not mature, they don't have deepness in them. This is really to their, it's not good for them. I know Elvis Presley, or Mr. Hip, gained so much money. He was a simple boy, and he did not increase his maturity, and he finally ate himself to death and took so many drugs, you know, because he could not function with such so much money and so much appreciation. It made him crazy in the head. This is what we have seen in the material field, but it does also happen, unfortunately, to people who are making spiritual advancement. If they do not grow deeper roots, that means if they do not become more humble, then it is dangerous for them. We have heard about many gurus who started as very nice yogis with a lot of austerity somewhere on the bank of the Ganga, but then all of a sudden they got the appreciation and of Westerners, maybe also Western women, and they got money and it went into their head, and they had terrible accidents on their spiritual path, even downfalls. We have seen the same thing also in our Hare Krishna movement. Many very good persons started their spiritual journey, but they couldn't handle the responsibility or the weight of the responsibility or weight of appreciation or weight of wealth which came during the progress, and they became uprooted when a little wind started in their life, or even a little storm started in their lives. Once Srila Prabhupada was asked by an American devotee who was very wealthy and very well connected in society, Prabhupada, how can I become humble? Meaning that for a person like me, it is very difficult to become humble. Maybe for a person in Slovenia or in Croatia or Serbia who has no novats, no dinare, it's easy to be humble. But for me, it's very difficult to be humble. Prabhupada looked at his American-born disciple. The question was, how can I become more humble? And he said, be realistic. Humility means nothing else, my dear devotees and my dear skeptics, than the ability to become realistic. We are fallen souls. Let's be honest here. We are in the temple. We can talk freely. We are in one family. We are very interested in our spiritual growth. So we can just talk bluntly. We don't have to play false roles. To be humble is not so difficult if you look at yourself. For instance, we can see we have so much knowledge, but how much do we really act upon this knowledge during the day? I'm sure that most of us here have enough knowledge to become self-realized souls if they would follow what they know. I would like to introduce one exercise for you, all of you, which helps you to become a little bit more advanced. And as you do this exercise, it's a very simple exercise, you will also become more humble, for sure. See, one of the greatest obstacles in spiritual life is described to be, in Sanskrit the word is kalpana, or imagination, imagining something about yourself which is not the fact. And we very much like to live in these imaginations about ourselves, our own, we create our own little worlds with these imaginations. I would like to tell you a story of which illustrates how much we do like to live in our mental worlds. It's about a driver, a German, who drove a Mercedes 3008, or I do not know the different numbers. I drive an Audi, so I'm not informed about Mercedes any longer. And he had what is called, oh, in German you say a panne, a punctured tire, flat tire, yes. How do we say this in... Pochen Maguma. Yes, some nail maybe. Yes. How do we say it in Croatian? Flat tire. Prazne gume. Yeah, something like that. So you have the idea, yes. So, no problem. There was a spare tire. He was in the midst of a field, so he wanted to take this, the old tire down and put the spare tire there. But when he was going to do it, he found out he didn't have a, you know, car lifter. I'm not so good in the mechanical language of English, so you have to help me. What is it called? What? Yes. So, what to do? Without this car lifter, he couldn't repair the problem. So he went to the only house which was there in this area where there were only fields. And he wanted to borrow or lend a car lifter. A jack, they call it in English. A jack. So as he was approaching the house, the man in the house thought, oh, he is this nice German man. Well, I can see he must have a flat tire. No problem, I have a very good jack, a very good car lifter. I'm prepared to give it to him for free. I'm so happy. Finally, something happens to me and I can be a little selfless. So he prepared the jack to give it to the man. But the man, typical German, came to the house and thought, for sure, this foolish man will not give me his jack for free. He will ask for a price of 20 euros. He came closer and he imagined he will not be satisfied with 20 euros because he knows I really need a car jack, a car lifter. I cannot move from here. He is such a nikove, such a rascal. He will want to have 50 euros. Meanwhile, the man was just, oh, I give him the car jack and then I have some nice cookies. I give him also some nice cookies. He was so happy. You know, finally this man came, this Mercedes driver rang on the door. Yoot, 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 yoot. And the man was opening the door and he was smiling. And the German thought, yes, he is smiling because now he will make a good business. And he thought, then he finally said, 100 euros is much too much. Keep your foolish car jack at home. I will do without it. And he threw the door into the... And he went back, totally offended. Now the man in his house didn't know what to think. For what? What did I do wrong? Why did he say 100 euros? What is wrong with these nervous Germans, you know, and it's a good example. We laugh about it when we hear about this story in the temple, but all of us, for maybe many lifetimes, live with this problem that our thoughts, our mind, create a complicated reality. isn't life very simple if we think about it without our minds? We are parts of God, huh? God loves us. We just need to serve and surrender Him, and our life is full of bliss and knowledge. Ping, that's all. You don't need to know more, Kunya Biharini. Just open your arms, Kunya Biharini. Love Krishna and go as a self-realized soul through the life. Kunya Biharini goes, thank you. It's a very, very practical suggestion which you give. No, but I mean, Kunya Biharini is the best of all of us. This is not fair to take her as an example. We make life so complicated. So little faith, so much. You know, how complicated the world has become only because people have done what our German Mercedes driver has done, huh? Imagining and so on. Mukundaji knows this very well. He studies politics. Still, you'd study this subject. Ooh, mal kompliziert. You know, yes. Especially this atheistic, materialistic civilization has just made a hellish garbage dump out of planet Earth. Just because mislite, thinking about things which are totally under the control of these dark mental forces like lust and anger and so on and so forth. So I wanted to say, this progress here is not something, you know, this objective line and then the subjective line is not something which should be very difficult. We can become a little bit more humble. Nowadays, some people have problems with humility. They feel if I become humble, then the self-esteem which I need, self-value, you know, confidence, will suffer, and I won't be able to make it in this life. Have you heard about this? Objection to humility. Also, sometimes they think if I think I have so many mistakes, then I will develop guilt, a guilt feeling, and it stifles me, and I will feel no one loves me. But devotees know they can become humble without any problem, because Krishna has said already that He loves everyone, even though they have mistakes. We quoted yesterday, yesterday, the shloka Apichet Sudaracharo, where Krishna says, even if my devotee sometimes makes a very mistaken activity, a great mistake, I consider him a saint because he is on the right path. So there is no reason to feel not loved when you are humble. There is no reason to feel that you are having no self-worth when you are humble. No, most properly, a person who is humble will be loved more. Hare Krishna. Once Yudhishthira was asked, the emperor of the world, what does one have to do to become lovable? Yudhishthira said, he was asked by the yaksha, you know, what to do to become more lovable? And he said, become free from pride. Do we like an arrogant fool? No. Do we like, but we can like someone who does mistakes, but who says, oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I am what I am. You know, we love him. We forgive him. We don't become totally against him. And you will know someone who is realistic about himself, who is humble, he is a strong person. Only a pride person has to defend many things and is therefore very much afraid. Thank you. Only a pride person is really always fighting and always, it's many times losing. A person who doesn't fight for any illusions about himself and illusions about the world, he doesn't have to struggle all the time, and he will have all his strengths, which he needs so much for his spiritual advancement. I will end this session by saying, humility does not mean to think less of yourself, but to think of yourself less. Hare Krishna. Yes, Moksha Rupi, you got this. Humility does not mean to think less of yourself, but to think of yourself less. That's not from my own... I have to give credit to... I first heard it from Bhakti Teta Maharaj. But I think it's a saying. It's like a Chinese proverb or something like this. Hare Krishna. Only a very weak person will always think, I, me, mine, I, me, mine, I, me, mine. A strong person can think of other things. Hare Krishna. So my exercise for you. Slujate, please listen very carefully. For 1 week, try to live in truth. That is, everything you say should be the truth. Everything you do should be consistent of what you hold true in your life. No compromise for 1 week. And everything you think should be the truth. You should not think an illusion, you should not do illusions, and you should not speak illusions. When you do this exercise, you will make an amazing realization. Never speak a lie for 1 week. If someone asks you, how are you? If you're not so good, you don't say, very good. For 1 week, you only do what you know is true, huh? And whenever you catch your mind by going into these imaginations and so on, you just bring it back and say, let's stay on the floor of reality, please. You will become very humble after 1 week of trying to live in truth and speak in truth. Try it. It's an exercise which will help you to go deeper into the ideas which are brought out in the seminar. No, it's your homework. It's not harmful to do it. It's good. Now I would like to make an active pause with all of you. Are you ready? We will sing a little bit. I recognize we may have guests who are only the first time in our temple, or who may visit us the second or third time. You are welcome to participate in this ancient and very blissful ceremony, the Arati ceremony, where we greet the Lord on the altar with sing and dance. You can also dance along. My tippas start with one part of the body, like the head, or maybe the hands, and then slowly let the movement of joyful dance enter the rest of your body, so that finally it takes over all parts, including the feet and the mind. This is my little tip for you. Start with, maybe even with one finger. And then you are in it. It's a very spiritual thing, and it will help you to get a little bit rid of all these mental contaminations. Hare Krishna. And after this, it will take about half an hour. We will continue with the last session of this seminar, and then we will actually then go on a journey together, a journey of self-realization, which we have documented in a slide presentation. Srila Prabhupada ki Sisi Gaur Nitai ki Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.